Welcome to 2021. Why don't you high-five someone near you? You can do that. Stand up in your seat wherever you are. Come on. You can high-five somebody and just welcome somebody to 2021. Happy New Year to you, your fam bam, and good to see you out at Holiday Church. Don't you love Holiday Church? Holiday Church is, it's holidays, and it's a good time of year. It's a great time of year. If you're away on holidays, over the holiday break, travel safe, enjoy your time with your family, your friends, and your loved ones, and the people that you're gathering with over the holiday period. I want to talk today about the power of gratitude, the power of gratitude, because I'm really thankful as I enter this new year for the goodness of God. Anyone else thankful for the goodness of God? I'm thankful for the grace of God. Anyone thankful for the grace of God? Thank you for the favor of God, and thank you for the blessing of God that God gives to every one of us as we enter 2021. Thankful for a new year. Who's thankful to say goodbye to 2020? Come on, wave goodbye to it. We're thankful to say goodbye to 2020, and we're so glad to welcome in a new year, because a new year is a fresh start. A new year is a new beginning. It's a new day for every one of us. You know, 2020, that was a tough year. That was a tough year. It really was. It was a challenging year in so many ways for individuals, for families, for relationships, for workplaces, businesses, government, the economy. It really was a challenging and stretching year for all of us. And as we've entered 2021, it's kind of like we're all a little bit nervous entering this year. It's like we're walking on eggshells. It's like you're walking on glass as you enter 2021, and you're asking people, don't boldly proclaim anything at the moment. Let's just walk into this year and kind of see what happens for 2021. I'm just praying that 2021 will be a whole lot kinder. A whole lot kinder and a whole lot more blessed than certainly 2020 was. You know, 2021, our theme is exactly the same as last year. We've just pushed the reset. We've hit the reset button, and we're going with the same theme because it kind of got all scrambled in 2020. We just did our Vision Sunday. We preached our theme in a series on that, which was moving life forward, moving family forward as a church. And then it kind of everything just went upside down. Yet in all of the mess, the truth of the message wasn't lost, because it's when you're in your mess that you need to move life forward. Anyone else agree with that? That's when you need to move life forward. And so we've really felt just to hit the reset button on that for this year and keep our theme the same, moving life forward and moving family forward. So today I want to start the year simply by starting a new series called The Power of Gratitude, and to give us some things to grasp to help us build well in 2021. I want to help us to understand the greatness of gratitude, because I think we undervalue it. I think we've misplaced it. I don't think we've identified the strength of it, the power of it, the uniqueness of it, the value, the importance of gratitude and being a thankful person and grateful people as the community of God. And I want to challenge every one of us to cultivate and lean in with great intentionality towards gratitude this year, even more so than last year. And finally, when gratitude's running low, I want you to take responsibility for it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you. You. I want you to take responsibility, every one of us individually, to assume responsibility for the gratitude levels that are in our heart. So here's my first big thought. You're the only one that's responsible for and able to control the gratitude in your life. You're the only one. You're the only person on this planet that can control your level of gratitude, how your heart responds, how you react to the situations and the circumstances around your life. You're the only one responsible. It's a powerful truth. It's a challenging truth. It's a vulnerable truth. It's a confronting truth. It just slaps you in the face. I am responsible. Would you shout that out for me? I am responsible. Be responsible. Be responsible for your gratitude, because we are personally accountable and responsible for how we see life and how we respond to life. I think gratitude is one of the greatest of all attitudes. It's one of the greatest of all attitudes that we have. In actual fact, it's a game changer. It's a game changer when it comes to our attitudes, is being a person who values gratitude as being one of the highest of all attitudes that there is. It makes a massive difference in your life journey. It makes a massive difference in your faith journey. It makes a massive difference in your church journey as you embrace gratitude. It makes a massive difference in relationships when you embrace gratitude. It makes a massive difference in our church fit and our church function when we have a gracious and thankful heart that is full of gratitude. It's a little bit, for me, like gratitude is like the birthing center. It's the incubator. It's the life source of all other positive attitudes that develop around our world in our lives, because gratitude doesn't travel alone. It has friends that travel with it. It attracts other positive attitudes in your life. And not only does it attract, it repels. It repulses, actually. It drives out. It will not allow other attitudes to stay in your life when you are a person that is full of gratitude. You know, gratitude is a theme of Scripture. It's everywhere. It's all through the Bible. Give thanks. Give thanks. We used to sing a song 300 years ago when I was a worship leader in church. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Yeah, you get it. Give thanks. And that's the theme of the song, to give God. It's the theme of the Psalms. David the psalmist writing the Psalms. Come into his presence with thanksgiving and with praise. Leave your sadness at the door and get gladness as you get in the house. It does something. It does something for you. You know, gratitude is the essence of our worship. It's the expression of our praise. It's the posture of our giving and our contribution. When we give an offering, it's called a thanksgiving offering. Yes. That's what it is. That's what your tithe is. It's a thank you, Lord, offering. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the ability to work. Thank you for the health to work. Thank you for the opportunity to work. Thank you for my business. Thank you for my creativity. Thank you for my productivity. And out of that, I bring a blessing for you. And it's my gift, my thank you offering. Did you say thank you to God today? Did you say thank you to God today? The psalmist says, come into his presence with thanksgiving and with praise and bring your gift and bring your thank you offering and bless his wonderful name. Thank you. And gratitude is a kingdom concept. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good and his faithful love endures forever. Psalm 100 verse 4, the one I was just talking about, says this in the Passion Translation, which I don't know whether you read that translation of the Bible, but it's good. It lifts the passion ante in terms of reading the Scriptures, and it's a refreshing look and window into the Scriptures. It says this in Psalm 100 verse 4. It says, you can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right in. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come and bring your, here we go, thank you offering to him and affectionately bless his name. You know, the psalmist teaches us, he outlines for us, he pictures for us how to come into the house of God, how to come into the very presence of God. He says, come in with praise, come with thanksgiving, come with a thank you offering to bless the beautiful name of the Lord. You know, 2020, stinker of a year. 2020, challenging year. Perhaps you lost your job in 2020. No fun in that. No fun in that at all. Perhaps you lost loved ones in 2020. I did. That's not a good deal when you go through that. Grief is a hard thing to go through. Like the grief of a lost job or the grief of a loved one that has departed from your world. And it's challenging and it's difficult and it really rocks you. Maybe you struggle with your health in 2020 and it wasn't a good health year for you. Maybe it highlighted some family and relational issues. Maybe you're financially challenged now or compromised and you're wondering how you're going to recover. Maybe your business is a little bit wobbly and you're not quite sure of what the future of your business might be. 2020 certainly affected our church. It affected the church right across the world. It affected the church. Every pastor I speak to is affected by what's happened with 2020 and how it really just leveled the playing ground in terms of some people with their relationship with God and their faith in God. And you know, we just lost some people people in 2020. They just disappeared off the radar. They just went missing in action. And it's kind of like, where are you? What happened to you in 2020 was the question we as leaders and pastors were asking and are asking of some people from 2020. 2020 has really stretched our teams. Our teams are really having to work a whole lot harder because there's a lot less people that are involved in teams right now. And so they're really stretched. So can I ask you in 2021, particularly as we enter 2021, be really nice to the people that are on the door and the people that are on stage and up in our kids' church and in our kitchen and hospitality and in the cafe and every other area of church life, because they're really stretched and they're really challenged. I've got sometimes three faces, one face in three places. In other words, people are on three teams or so at the moment just to fill gaps and serve, just to make church work. It's a real challenge at the moment. Things are stretched. Personally, as pastors, can I tell you, it was a really challenging year to pastor the church because we'd never pastored a church like that before. We'd never pastored a church through a pandemic. We didn't know how to do it. It was uncharted territory. It was unnavigated territory for us, and pivoting and making the adjustments that we had to make and to look after people in a whole new world was really challenging. And at times we just didn't know what to do in 2020. The year of clear vision seemed more confused than ever. Go figure. But here we are. We're in 2021. And there's a lot of things to be thankful for. Just put your hand on your heart and just say, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I really am. I'm grateful for 2021. I'm grateful God brought me this far. And He didn't bring me this far to fail. He didn't bring me into a new year to fail. He brought me into a new year to have a heart that's full of gratitude for all that He's done. You know, even in the hardest of seasons, can I say this about hard seasons? Don't let a hard season label you. Don't let it define you. Don't let it become you. It will overshadow you, but don't let it become you. Don't let it get it in you. Don't let it stay inside of you. Get it out of you. Let it go. Release it. Let it go. Let it go. Just let it go, princess. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, let it go? Just let it go. It's a new year. It's 2021. You know, it's our response to a hard season that defines us. It's not the hard season itself. It's our response to it. It's the way I respond to it, the way I react to it, what I do with it that determines whether it defines me or not. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was in a prison, a Roman prison, when he wrote this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. And I love what he says from this prison cell. I'm not sure I would be saying this from a prison cell, but this is what Paul says. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. That's what we do. Even if it's a country and western song, you can do it. Just sing, get your twang on. Get your twang. Okay, Mitch, you can do some twang. Get your twang and sing in your heart and make music to the Lord always. Would you say always? I don't like that word. I don't like it. I'd like to rub it out. I should have that ability on my TV screen, Dale. I don't quite have that ability when I'm in this mode, but what if I was in normal mode? I could just rub always out. And I'd like to pretend it's not there, but it says always giving thanks to God the Father for, would you say that word?
Everything.
Really? Seriously, God? You want me to give thanks for everything? Give thanks for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it about gratitude that we are so encouraged to embrace? Why is gratitude so important and so valuable to us? What is the power and the greatness of gratitude? Here's some big thoughts. Number one, gratitude changes who you are. Gratitude changes who you are. Gratitude literally changes us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and socially. It changes us in every way. It brings little changes and adjustments to the person that we are becoming when we have a heart full of gratitude. When you have a heart full of gratitude, you are healthier, you are happier, you are more attractive. Little hint right there. You are more attractive, you are more happy, you are more healthy, you are more enjoyable to be around when you have a heart full of gratitude. You make a better partner, you make a better friend, you make a better workmate, you make a better employee, you make a better employer, you make a better leader, you make a better pastor. Everyone say amen. Yes, how to make your pastor better? Let the pastor get the pastor to have a heart full of gratitude. Give thanks to God in everything. You know, studies show all that. Studies say, I'm not just saying that stuff. Studies show that you're a healthier, happier, more productive person, and you're more optimistic, and you're more, as Josh was talking about before, confident in life when you have a heart and a posture and a disposition, a response mechanism that is one full of gratitude. We have better relationships, we sleep better, our immune system is better, we have better self-control, we literally manage our life better when we have a heart full of gratitude. Because it drives out the negatives. It drives out what doesn't belong. It drives out what shouldn't be there. Because you can't be thankful, grateful, and full of that and unhappy at the same time. You can't. You can't be full of gratefulness and unhappy at the same time. Here's another thought. Gratitude separates privilege from entitlement. It separates privilege from entitlement. You can't be full of gratitude for something that someone's done and feel entitled at the same time. You can't. Those two do not belong together. They're not partners. They can't walk holding hands. When you're grateful, you are blessed and you know you're blessed. You're blessed with everything, but you know you're entitled to nothing. Blessed with everything. This is our posture before God. We're blessed with everything, but we're entitled to nothing. He doesn't have to do anything for me, but he does everything for me. Entitled to nothing, but blessed with everything. You know, entitlement demands, whereas a heart full of gratitude is just thankful for the blessing and thankful for a new opportunity. So here's the thought. Never let what you want make you forget the blessings you have. We're so full of what we want. So full of it. Full of what we want that often we forget what we have. It's human nature. And it's nature that we've got to identify. Otherwise we surrender to this thought that what we want drives us so much that we can forget the blessings that we already have. Paul says it this way in Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Tell him what you need and then thank him for all he's done. Tell him what you need. That's okay. Tell God what you need. Tell him what you want. But thank him at the same time for all that he has done. You know, I am seriously thankful and grateful for people that have not been shaken in 2020. Or maybe you've been shaken, but you've not been moved. You're still strong in life. You're still strong in conviction. You're still strong in commitment. You're still here. As Josh said before, I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Still standing. Still standing, which is amazing. I'm so thankful and grateful for people whose faith is strong, for people that have just literally hit the reset button. Hit the reset button and starting again for this year. People that are committed to God and committed to the house of God and committed to partnering with others. People that are building a community out of a sense of conviction and want to contribute to make church strong and vibrant for the city and for the community. I'm grateful for people that say, this is my church no matter what. This is my church no matter what. This is just who we are. It's how we rock. It's how we roll. It's how we walk. It's where I belong. That's where I'm planted. Everyone say planted. It's where I'm planted. I'm rooted there. The Bible says to be deeply rooted and deeply planted in the house of God. So gratitude firstly changes who you are. Secondly, it changes what you see. It changes what you see. And you know, the reality is we all see different things. We see different things because we have different perspectives. We have different lenses that we look through. We have different things that define or filter what we see in life. And I want to suggest to you, gratitude is the healthiest filter that you can have in terms of walking into life and into a new year with a heart full of gratitude changes how you'll see. If you're looking for God's favor, when you have a heart of gratitude, you'll see God's favor. You will see his blessing because gratitude changes how you see, what you see, and it changes how we see what we see. And how we see what we see needs to change. How we see what we see needs to change. It's amazing when you get to a certain age what a difference lenses make. See, I take these off and you're all beautiful. I put them on and it's wow. You're more beautiful. Yeah, you're more beautiful when I put them on. You get to a certain age where everything's just blurry. It's just blurry. And that's what happens in life. It just gets blurry. And you've got to change the perspective and get the lens right so you can see with clarity. So you have good eyes. Would you say good eyes? Good eyes. Good eyes. Good eyes become very important when you hit about 50. And then every year after that, it becomes more important to have good. This is what Jesus said about good eyes. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, in other words, you've got a good eye, you see through a good filter, you have a gratitude filter. He says, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of lights. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Jesus is describing what takes place within our hearts as human beings when our eyes are good and healthy and our eyes are full of gratitude, that we see life through the lens of gratitude. He says your whole life, your whole body, your whole experience, your whole journey is full of goods. Anyone want good for 2021? You want good? Get a good eye. Get a good eye. Get a good eye. At least one. Get a good eye. Two is better than one. Get two good eyes and fill your whole body, your whole experience, your whole journey with life. You know, seeing good, having the ability to see good, having the ability to see good is absolutely essential to having gratitude in your life. Just having the ability to find good in everything. I want you to look for good as if there's a reward for looking for good, because there is. That was too quick and too good for some of you. Let me slow it down. I want you to look for good as if there's a reward for looking for good, because there is. There's big rewards for looking for good. Jesus said a man went into a field and found a treasure. Everyone say treasure. Treasure's good. Treasure's good. Don't you like it when you find a little bit of treasure? You do the washing, if you've ever done the washing. I washed once. I did the washing once, right? I don't often do the washing in our house when it comes to washing clothes, because I make mistakes when I do the washing, because that's a pink job for me. There's blue jobs. Like, I live on acreage, so the blue job is I mow the lawn, I trim the edges, I'm the one that smells like a mower, not my wife. And so there's pink jobs, there's blue jobs. Danny and Trent understand that. You do that all the time. And I did a pink job and I shouldn't have done it, because I got in trouble for doing the pink job, because I did the pink job a blue way. Because Cheryl had come home, and many of you know she's started studying to be a nurse, and, you know, she's got the stethoscope thing, and she's got the thing here that nurses wear on their little blouse. It's a little, what is it? A fob watch. She's very proud of her new fob watch, you know, that she'd bought. It's only brand new. And, of course, the blue boy did the washing on this day. Didn't check the clothes, because who figures you're going to have a watch hanging off your blouse? I mean, I don't hang watches off my blouse. You could understand that, Pastor John. You could understand this mistake, couldn't you? I just threw it in the washer. The fact that it was going clink, 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 clink was no hint to me at all. I just totally ignored that sound. And then when the clothes were dried through the dryer also, and the clink, 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 well, you could guess what Cheryl did to my head. She went clunk, because now her fob watch has all little dints all over it and didn't work. And she had to take it to the jeweler. And he goes, what the heck did you do to this thing? And she just said, husband. Sometimes that's all the explanation you need. So the moral of the story is, that's it. Don't do things you shouldn't do. Don't do the pink jobs, because we're always going to get in trouble. Look for the good and you will see the good. You know, the more good that you see, the more grateful you will be. And the more grateful you will be, the more good you will see. You can't see the good unless you have a grateful heart. You can have good all around you, but you won't see it because of the filter of ungratefulness. It blocks it out. It's a blinker. You can't see it. Everyone else can see it, but you can't see it. So my question is, do you see what I see? Do you see it? Can you see what I see? And I think God's asking us that question. Do you have good eyes, or are your eyes lazy? Sometimes eyes are just lazy. You know, it's like you go to the cupboard as a man and you're looking for something. And unless there's a hand in the cupboard that offers it out to me, I can't see it. Like I go to the fridge and like I did another first the other night. I cooked dinner. Yeah, Cheryl was sick, so I mean a dog's got to eat. And I was going to call menu log to the chateau, but I just went to the fridge. There were some lamb chops there and did some lamb chops and made an Asian salad and put it on the plate and made sure it was all presented properly. Took a photo of it, because you've got to nowadays. Took a photo of it to send to my friends and go, look what I did. This is just amazing cooking this meal. Why am I telling you that? I have no idea why I'm telling you that story, but another first for me for 2020 was just cooking a meal. when we have an attitude of gratitude, good things in life are not taken for granted. Not taken for granted. Turn to your neighbor and said, just say, stop it. Stop it. That is my best counseling advice for everything. Stop it. Don't take it for granted. You don't take it for granted. Things are not wasted on you when you have a heart full of gratitude. You see your blessing. You know your blessing. You notice your blessing. You see what others have done for you, and you see the small opportunities that open up in life, and you're full of gratefulness for that, and you're grateful for what God has done. So when you come before God and you ask Him to do things, you're not only asking, you're thanking. You're thanking. You're thanking. Little hint for everyone under 16. Go to your mum and dad and thank them, and then tell them what you want. Make sure you're thanking them. Make sure you're thanking them, not just taking from them. You know, the truth about how life operates is many people remember what they're supposed to forget, and they forget what they're supposed to remember. Many people remember what they're supposed to forget and forget what they're supposed to remember. I think if the Bible puts two thoughts together more than any other, it's forget and remember. Forget and remember. Forget and remember. The Bible tells us so much about forgetting and so much about remembering. And the past is not all to be forgotten, but a lot of it is. The junk, the clunk, the fact that your husband washed your fob watch needs to be forgotten. It's good preaching, isn't it? Feel a real cloud of conviction coming over this side of the room right now. It's very hot on stage, I don't know about you. There's things to forget. There's things to remember. Remember the ancient ways, is what the Bible says. There's a lot of good things about the good old days that are still good, but there's a lot of things about the old days to forget. My advice for 2020 is forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. 2021, remember the good. Remember the good. If you can forget what you're supposed to forget and remember what you're supposed to remember, you'll move life forward. If you can forget what you're supposed to forget and remember what you're supposed to remember, you can move life forward. So get it out of your mind, get it out of your heart, get it out of your vocab, out of your mouth, out of your conversation. Remember the good, write the good, say the good, speak the good, sing the good, preach the good, proclaim the good. Phone up your friends about the good. Blog the good. Put good on Facebook. That's a thought. Put good on Facebook. Get rid of the criticism. Get rid of the complaint. Get rid of the angst. Get all the good on there and make it a book worth reading. You see, favor sees, gratitude sees the favor. It sees the progress and it sees the good things. And it helps us to forget the hurt and the pain. Who's ever had hurt and pain in their life? Come on, I'm going to write a song right now for you. We've all seen it, haven't we? Yeah, we've all got our story. All got junk. All got a trailer load of it. Cut. You've got baggage. Excess baggage. I hate baggage of any kind, especially going through airports. You've got to carry baggage. I want light. I want straight through. I don't want to be hindered, hampered. I don't have to go through security and disclose this and disclose that. I just want to walk through. And I think it's the invitation God gives us in terms of heaven's security. You know, he doesn't beep everything. Just walk in. Just walk in. Just come right into his presence with thanksgiving and with praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. Give him thanks for who he is and for all that he has done. Thirdly, gratitude changes what you say. You know, gratitude is very much on your lips. It's on your lips. It's in your conversation. It's all around you. It's in your circle. It's in the people that are around your world. And I want to say this from a pastor's perspective, because I'm a pastor. I want to say from a pastor's perspective that leading people and leading a church and leading any form of Christian organization or charity is very much a whole lot easier with people who have a spirit of gratitude than people who don't. It really is. And the Bible says this about people towards their pastors. It says, make your pastor's job easy. Make it easy. Make your pastor's job easy. It says, by obeying your leaders. Sure. Now I feel a real anointing. It says that. It says, make their job easy. Make it pleasant. Make it good for them. Here's a thought I have, that this is something that really rose up during 2020. And I've got to make comment on it, because there are some things I just can't be silent about. And I refuse to be silent about. And I just call out with people, and I just want to say that, you know, let's have hearts that are grateful for the leaders in our church. Like, when one of the leaders in our church rings you up, they're not following you up because you're being naughty, right? They're just following you up because they're trying to be a leader. That's what they're trying to do. And if you've got a heart full of gratitude, you won't give them attitude, because at different times I've had a little bit of attitude when I've followed people up, and I think, wow, if I've got to convince you to come to church, something's wrong with that equation. Go figure. It's like, you don't have to convince me to eat food. You don't have to convince me to open the fridge. Like, my mum used to do this with a spoon when I was young, and tease me and make it like an aeroplane and try to entertain me to get me to eat. Nobody has to do that anymore. Nobody sits in front of me with a spoon. Come on, Tony, open your mouth wide. The mouth's always open. It's like, seriously, I just pull up a seat at the fridge and that's it. Welcome to my world. And, you know, it's like we just do the journey so much better together when our hearts are full of gratitude. When our hearts aren't full of gratitude, there is attitude everywhere. And attitude just stinks. Attitude just, it puts everything off. Attitude just does not work. So get some gratitude on your attitude for 2021. Is that a good little pastor talk right there? I think that is. Why don't you give the pastor a big hand, because the pastor feels very insecure when he starts talking like that. Okay, here we go. If gratitude is in your heart, it'll be in your mouth. It'll be in your mouth. You'll sing it, you'll proclaim it, you'll declare it wherever you go. Jesus said this about your mouth. He says, your mouth speaks out of the overflow of your heart. Your mouth speaks out of the overflow of your heart. So stay grateful whether things are going your way or not. Things are not always going to go your way. They're just not. You're going to have great days, you're going to have dark days, you're going to have difficult days, you're going to have difficult seasons. That is what we call life. That is what we call life. You're going to have valley experiences, mountain experiences. You're going to have times where everything's magical in your world, and then you're going to have other times where it's just a mess. And you've got to, in either season, whatever the circumstance is to allow your heart to remain full of gratitude. So keep looking for the good, keep saying the good, keep talking up your blessing, keep thanking God for all that he has done. There's always a reason to rejoice. No matter what's going on, there's always a reason to give thanks and to have gratitude in your heart. So keep rejoicing in the Lord always. Nothing good happens when we're ungrateful. Nothing good happens when we live ungrateful. When our mouth is full of complaint or grumbling or whining or pointing a finger at faults, it doesn't move life forward at all. Lifting up is always better than pulling down. Lastly, and everyone said, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Gratitude changes who you do life with. It changes who you do life with. This is so powerful, and something we all need to recognize is that ungrateful people are drawn towards ungrateful people. Grateful people are drawn towards grateful people, because our kind determines our kind. Our kind determines our kind. In other words, we attract what we are. We attract what we are. We don't attract what we want. We attract what we are. If you look around your people, the people that are in your zone, if you look around your people and all your people do is complain and grumble, then look in the mirror, because it's saying something to you. It's saying something to you. And what it's saying is, stop that and turn around. Turn around and get rid of the complaint, get rid of the whinge, and get your grateful heart on. If that's who's drawn to you, it's because they feel invited by your conversation. They feel invited. Make sure the people that are invited into your world are people that have a grateful heart, because you have a grateful heart. In actual fact, let your gratefulness annoy everybody. Annoy people with your gratefulness. Out of the overflow of your heart, become the most annoying person in the world because you're so grateful. You're so positive. You're so uplifting. You're so encouraging. Your people, your friends are going to be thinking, what on earth are they on? I don't know what they're on, but I want whatever they're on. Because what they're on is what I want. And you know what you want when you see what you want. And when you see what you want, that invites people into your scope, into your world, into your zone, into your space because of your grateful heart. So for 2021, can you shift gears? Can you shift gears? Shift gears. Come on, find another gear. You got it in you. Find another gear. Another gear for another year. Another gear for another year. Find it this year, 2021. You're not at full speed yet. There's another gear. There's another gear for you. It's a gratitude gear. Engage it. Get it going. Your gratitude is going to shut down the people in your world that are shutting you down. Everyone say, shut down. Shut down. Shut down the negativity. Shut down the complaint. Shut down the warning. Shut down the going slow. And engage a new gear for a new year. Some people may leave your world. That's okay. Let them go. Let them go. They may leave your world. Let them go. It's okay, because the new ones can't come until they do. Gratitude attracts gratitude. So upgrade your life. Would you stand with me? Upgrade your life. Make a decision to do that. Upgrade your life. Upgrade your walk. Upgrade your journey. Upgrade your people by upgrading to a lifestyle of gratitude. Be the one that owns that. Be the one that is responsible for that. Don't empower anyone else or everyone else to fill your gratitude tank. Fill it yourself. Fill it yourself. Jesus said, out of the overflow of your heart, out of the overflow of your heart, what's happening in your heart determines what you speak. It's you. It's you. It's you that is responsible for your gratitude. And so thank God for the power of gratitude. Thank God for the greatness of gratitude. Thank God for all the potential of gratitude. 2021. Make it a year of giving thanks for who God is, for all God has done. Would you bow your heads? I want to pray for all of us right now before we close with a great song of worship and praise to God this morning. Father, we thank you today. Thank you. Those two words. We thank you for who you are, for what you've done, and for what you're doing. There are many times in life, God, like 2020, when we don't understand life and we don't understand what's going on or why it's happening. And there are moments like right now when we don't see the full picture for a new year even, and we're not exactly sure what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like, what it's going to sound like. But what we do know is this, is we do know the best is yet to come. We do know that. You've written the script. You told the story. You've recorded it in your book. And so, Father, we trust you. We walk with you. We want to have grateful hearts. We want to be people that are full of gratitude. We want to be known for that. We want to be gratitude annoyers. We want to annoy people with our positive posture towards life, the things of life, the happenings of life, the potential of life, the opportunities of life. So we cut the grizzle and we get the gratitude on. We find a new gear for this new year. That's what we want to do. And we know all of that relies on you and your presence, your power working in our lives. And we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Why don't you make a commitment just to get a little bit closer this year, a little bit closer to God. We're going to sing and just worship the Lord for a few moments. Come on, first service in 2021. Why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you worship the Lord together with us right now as we draw to a close today? Thank you.